Sorry. Please remain on the line.
Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Please take a seat. Well, good morning and welcome to today's edition of the Board of Public Works. We will get started with the business of the day. Secretary Gontram, good morning, and it's good to see you.
Morning, Governor. Good to see you, and good to see you, and good morning to you, Madam Comptroller and Mr. Treasurer. There are 11 items on the Secretary's agenda this morning and one report of an emergency procurement contract award. I'm happy to assist with answering any questions.
Great. Thank you so much. Any discussion on the Secretary's agenda?
I just have one on item A1. I have a few questions for the Transportation Authority.
Well, we have Mr. Richard Hamrio and Mr. Jeffrey Davis from the Transportation Authority.
Hi, good morning. How are you all?
Good. How are you?
I am great. Thank you. For the record, my name is Richard Hamrio with the Maryland Transportation Authority, Chief Operating Officer. So thank you for having me here today.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming. And it feels a little strange to be talking about snow today, but that is what this item is about. And I did have some questions that we were not able to get answered, so I just wanted to review those with you. Can you verify that it's correct that, just to be clear, Mr. Governor, this is on the emergency snow removal contract, right? So is it correct that MDTA didn't have a contract in place that would have covered snow removal from the express tolling lanes before the winter storm that we had last year that we all remember turned into ice immediately?
And Comptroller, that is correct. We did not have a contract in place.
And so how did you confirm that the rate that you then received was competitive before awarding this contract?
We reached out to Ellen Myers, who had used and gave us the rates that they had applied through the State Highway Administration, which we knew they had already gone through and competitively bid. So we utilized those same rates.
Okay. And did you reach out to any other vendors?
We did not.
Okay. Look, obviously this needed to be awarded and we needed to maintain the lanes for safe travel. That said, it frankly, I think it seems sort of unacceptable that the Transportation Authority didn't already have a contract in place. Winter happens every year. Winter maintenance isn't a surprise. Do you plan to competitively procure a contract ahead of next winter so that we don't end up in this position again?
Comptroller, yes, we do. We are currently in the process now of developing a contract, and we'll have that prior to this winter season.
Okay. And thank you for that. And it's good to hear you're doing that. And I have to assume that's the norm, right? Like we usually have a contract in place.
Well, in this case, we did not.
How did that happen?
So it's important to note that, the last time we used this kind of services, we always use internal services. Our internal staff handle all the snow and ice that we have.
For the Transportation Authority.
For the Transportation Authority. However, in this case, due to the severity of the ice and snow, it exceeded our ability in resources and equipment to be able to do so. So we had to, at that point, reach out to acquire additional resources in advance to acquire someone prior to anyone else being taken up by another, either SHA or someone else. So we had to get somebody in place.
I see. But do you normally, so in the past, you haven't had sort of a vendor on call in case it exceeds your department's ability to manage the snow?
We've had them on call. I mean, we've had others on call, but we've never needed to utilize them except for about 10, 11 years ago.
Armageddon. Yeah. Okay. Got it. Okay. But going forward, you will have a contract in place if you need it. You may not end up having to need it, but you'll have one there in the future in case you need to call on it.
Yes, ma'am. We will have one ready prior to this winter season.
Great. That makes sense. Thank you. And that's all the questions I have for MDTA, but I do have a couple other questions for MDOT, and I think that's for Valerie, if that's okay. Great. Thank you. Hi, Valerie. Good to see you.
Good to see you. For the record, Valerie Radomski, Chief Procurement Officer for MDOT.
Thanks. So does every applicable mode now have contracts in place for snow removal, or are they working on procuring those for next year so this doesn't happen in any of the other modes?
Yes. So SHA is a little different. So there is a law in place, and it comes from House Bill 1224 of 2015, where they have a whole process that they follow to procure emergency contracts each year. So there's one emergency declaration. Last winter, they awarded 702 emergency contracts. And then there's an annual report that comes to the Board of Public Works at the end of each fiscal year.
So, okay. So they don't procure ahead of time to just have it in case. They do it on an emergency basis year by year.
So they do procure ahead of time, but it's always on an emergency basis. So it's not like all of their other contracts that are where you have like district-wide mowing, district-wide trash cleanup. They don't have very large. We think the legislative intent was to award many, many contracts to the different businesses across the state. And there's MBE primes, small businesses, veteran-owned businesses.
Okay, understood. How much did SHA's cost exceed the FY26 budget for? Understanding we're still in closeout.
Sure. So their expenditures for fiscal 26 were $128 million, which is $64 million over the budget.
$64 million over the budget. Okay. So, you know, I raise that because, of course, NDOT covers costs as debt service, then operating expenses, right, which includes snow removal, and then capital investments. So if they're $68 million over, that, I assume, comes at the expense of capital projects then.
So the snow budget's paid from the operating budget,
right,
and we maintain a contingency line in the forecast should expenses exceed the estimate,
right,
revenues fail to hit the projection, and the contingency line will offset the overspend.
Okay, and is the contingency more than $68 million?
Well, we are getting, in this case, I'm not sure. I would have to go back and check with finance, but we are preparing to release our updated CTP, as you know.
Right. Well, that's why I'm curious about this, because if the $68 million exceeds the contingency, whatever exceeds the contingency would then come out of the capital project, so would be reflected in the upcoming CTP. Is that correct?
Exactly. The higher expenses will definitely be reflected in the document.
Okay. So obviously the board doesn't approve roads and bridges directly, but when a project makes it into the draft CTP, of course, that's a big deal for communities. And so it just seems important that the transportation department, you know, assume that we're going to have snow costs to bear in the future, and that if we don't have them, then we have extra money to spend on capital projects. And if we do have them, we don't have to cut projects, which is obviously helpful. So great. Thank you for clarifying. I appreciate it. I'm fine on the contract. Thanks.
Okay, great. Thank
you. Just quickly, not on this one. Thank you. On items 8 and 9, the St. Mary's IT project. I was just wondering, I noticed that on neither item, there were any MBE subcontracting opportunities. I was just wondering if there were any comments or thoughts related to that. Why was that not, why were there no opportunities for either contract?
Mr. Treasurer, we have Mr. Derry Green and Ms. Mary Grub available from St. Mary's College, and they are virtual.
Hi, yes, sir. Thank you, sir, for the question. We utilize data networks, and they are a they have a an existing contract with MEEC, Maryland Education Consortium, and the the competition was already conducted. The competition was already conducted through the Maryland Education Consortium. They had run competition, and this cooperative contract is in place. And we just piggyback off of that contract. Sorry about the delay.
Under, I think I was told it said, according to the consortium website, it said the members are required to use their own institution's procurement policies. Do we know what St. Mary's College's MBE policies are?
Yes, sir. We do not have a program goal, but we do follow the state goal. We try to mirror the state goal as much as possible. And our targets, our MBE targets, are set for each RFP that we conduct. And you know, we follow the regular process based on that.
Thank you.
Can I ask you a question? Just to follow on the treasurer's points, were there subcontracting opportunities as part of this contract, or is it all a single work? Is there no subcontracting opportunities? Are there?
No, there were not any subcontracting opportunities.
I see.
For this project. Sorry for the.
Okay. Thanks.
Mr. Green, really quickly, if you could identify yourself for the record, please.
Yes, my name is Derry Green. I'm the Director of Procurement Services at St. Mary's College.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Green. If there's no further discussion, may I have a motion to approve the Secretary's agenda?
Motion to approve the Secretary's agenda.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you so much. We'll proceed with the Department of Natural Resources. Secretary Kurtz, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. For the record, Josh Kurtz, Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources. The department has 5 items on our agenda for your consideration. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you so much. Is there any discussion on the DNR agenda? May I have a motion to approve the DNR agenda?
Motion to approve the DNR agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thanks so much, Mr. Secretary. We'll proceed with the University System of Maryland. Mr. Hickey, good morning.
Governor, Mr. Treasurer, Madam Comptroller, Tom Hickey, representing University System of Maryland. There are 2 items on the agenda for your consideration. Happy to answer any questions.
How does MEEC work again?
So MEEC is a USM-sponsored consortium that procures mostly IT contracts on behalf of K-20 public and private educational institutions throughout the state of Maryland. So we aggregate all of the spend for all of these educational entities and secure very, very significant discounts. So it's kind of the unsung hero of procurement. I've spoken to folks in Anne Arundel County Public Schools. They said, we couldn't do our job if MEEC didn't exist. So it's a great organization that saves taxpayers, saves you know, educational organizations significant amounts of money.
Interesting. Okay, thanks.
May I have a motion to approve the USM agenda?
Motion to approve the USM agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Christine. We'll proceed with MDOT. Welcome back, Ms. Radomski.
Thank you, Governor. Good morning, Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. For the record, again, my name is Valerie Radomski, Chief Procurement Officer for the Maryland Department of Transportation. Today, we are presenting 15 agenda items for your consideration, and we have representatives available to answer any questions you may have.
Are there any discussion on the MDOT agenda? May I have a motion to approve the MDOT agenda?
Motion to approve the MDOT agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Then, thank you so much. Thanks, Mr. Johnson. We will conclude with the DGS agenda. Secretary Charger, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Mr. Governor, Madam Comptroller, Ms. Treasurer. For the record, I am a Chief Charger, Secretary of the Maryland Department of General Services. Today, the department is presenting a light agenda for us, only 17 items. Our agenda does feature 7 capital grants and loans totaling more than $31 million. I want to highlight one in particular very quickly. It's item 12 CGL, which provides $279,000 to the Board of Directors of Adventist Healthcare. This grant will support the planned construction of a NICU, family lounge, and pediatric rehabilitation outpatient facility at the Shady Grove Medical Center in Montgomery County, which will enhance care for the county's most vulnerable patients. The lounge supports critical parent involvement by offering dedicated space for families staying long-term with their children. As we continue to keep an eye on minority business participation, our agenda does feature 1 contract action to a certified minority business totaling more than $209,000, and we have 1 contract action to a certified small business totaling more than $1.3 million. And we have agency representatives here to answer any questions you may have.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I'd actually like to take a moment to highlight item 14, which is a request to award a $30 million capital grant to the Waterfront Management Authority. And that's for the design, the planning, and also the improvements around the Inner Harbor over in Baltimore City. You know, the Inner Harbor really is a cornerstone of the entire 19-acre Harbor Place project that we have in Baltimore City. And it is nearly a $1 billion effort by the city and also by the state to make sure we're revitalizing shopping and entertainment and a gathering spot for people, not just in Baltimore and the state of Maryland, but for the entire country to be able to enjoy. And this project is not only going to improve the public access and support year-round programming that's going to take place there, but it's also just going to be a way for us to be able to open up opportunities for our local businesses and our local entrepreneurs to be able to benefit from the type of foot traffic that that will then create. I understand that we have a few speakers on board. And so first, I'd like to recognize Dave Bramble, who is a managing partner of MCB Real Estate, who has signed up to speak virtually. And there he is. Good morning, Mr. Bramble.
Good morning, Governor Moore, Comptroller Learman, and Treasurer Davis. Thank you for having me. And this is a big step towards the revitalization of the heart of Baltimore City, our Inner Harbor. MCB is not a party to this agreement that's before you, but as you know, we are the developer undertaking the Inner Harbor Park and Promenade Project on behalf of the city, the state, and all the stakeholders, the public space that everyone will be using. This agreement really unlocks the next tranche of dollars essential to completing the design and permitting of the project and getting underway with infrastructure and public improvements for the entire city and state and everyone to use. So beyond the physical improvements to our waterfront, it's important for everyone to know that this construction portion of this project will generate more than $2 billion in economic activity, will support over 8,500 jobs, $750 million in labor income, and generate $75 million in state and local government revenues. Since the Board of Public Works approved the first tranche back in 2023, our team has done a lot of work with all the stakeholders. We've gotten a master plan approval, design and engineering approvals necessary to move the project forward. As you know, we received over 60% of the popular vote on question F in November in 2024, 6% more than the original Harbor Place received back in 78. We filed for all of our permits for the public space improvements, and we expect those permits to be issued by the end of the year. With approval today, we take another huge step towards delivering a new waterfront future for generations of Baltimoreans and Marylanders and other folks who will be visiting our city and our town. The revitalization of the Inner Harbor and Harbor Place is an essential catalyst to the resurgence of downtown Baltimore. The team at MCB understands the gravity of this project, and we stand ready to deliver for our city and for our state. And we thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your leadership and investment, and you know, highlighting the fact that Mr. Bramble is Baltimore born, Baltimore raised, and Baltimore committed. So we really appreciate you, and thanks for the work to make the Inner Harbor just a continued vibrant city center.
Yep. Thank you so much.
I'd also like to recognize Dan Taylor, who is the president of the Waterfront Partnership of Baltimore, who also joins us in person to speak on behalf of the item. Mr. Taylor, good morning. It's good to see you.
Good morning, Governor Moore and Comptroller Learman and Treasurer Davis. Thank you so much for having me this morning. For the record, my name is Dan Taylor. I'm the president of the Waterfront Partnership Baltimore. And I just want to thank you for giving me a moment to speak this morning. I came down here in person to thank you for your continued investment in the Inner Harbor. The Inner Harbor, when it was built, set the international standard for what waterfront redevelopment was supposed to be when it was built 50 years ago. And it continues to be hugely important to the city and the state for all the reasons that you mentioned and that I have bullets on and don't need to say because you already said it. But it's 50 years old and it's built on timber piles in salty water. It's got buried wires and tides that keep rising. They're higher than they've ever been. The number of days that our promenade floods is more than it has ever been. And so not only does this investment complement one of the greatest reinvestment opportunities in Baltimore City history that Mr. Bramble and MCB are doing over at Harbor Place, but it allows us to rebuild so that the next generation of Marylanders, my kids who are 9 and 3, and their kids after them, have a waterfront that they can enjoy as well. So I just want to thank you for this reinvestment. I also want to thank you for entrusting Waterfront Partnership with this significant amount of money. It is not the first time that the state has partnered with us. We are weeks away from opening the second phase of Rashfield Park, which was built in part with $9.8 million of state money. We'd like to invite each of you to come whenever you would like. I'd be happy to show you around. But just like how that project has created a world-class park on our waterfront, we will be responsible stewards of this money as well as we continue to make the Inner Harbor the place that it has been and will continue to be for all of Maryland and Baltimore. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And also thanks for all your work to continue to make place and space so important and focusing on giving something that everybody can enjoy when it comes to waterfront enjoyment. So thank you.
How do we reserve the pickleball courts that are coming?
Well, it's our first come, first served. I'll stand in line if you have, if you want to show up.
Yes, no, I'm thrilled. Thank you, Mr. Governor. Really, thanks, Dan. Thank you, Dave, for being here. It's a really exciting time. I live two blocks from the promenade, and I'm there every week, and it's been great to see Rashfield Park come along. It's great to hear weeks, not months away. I'm so excited for that. I was just there 2 days ago, and this is such an investment. You know, you cannot have a thriving uptown without a thriving downtown. And the promenade, the Inner Harbor, Harbor Place are so essential to ensuring that we're building an economically vibrant downtown Baltimore. And it's exciting to see all of these different pieces come together in rebuilding and building a stronger future for the city. And that means it's a stronger contributor to the state as well. And so really excited. Thank you for your leadership.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there any further discussion on the DGS agenda?
Governor, I would just ask that item 15 IT mod be pulled out for a separate vote. Okay.
Ms. Secretary, so we'll pull item 15 out for a separate vote. So why don't we take that item up first. For item 15 on this item, may I have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Okay. I will second it. So the item passes 2-1 with the comptroller voting in the negative. And on the remainder of the DGS agenda, do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Motion to approve the remainder of the DGS agenda.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thank you so much. And before we conclude, I know the comptroller wanted to share an update on the BPW dashboard.
Thank you. I know all of you check the BPW dashboard every day, so you probably know this already. But the dashboard is a public searchable tool hosted on the Board of Public Works website that allows users to look up approved contracts and spending, and that we in the Office of the Comptroller were proud to have launched and maintained. Shout out to Jasmine Clemens, who is here, and to Michelle and Tom, and all the folks who have made this work, John Gunfram as well. Transparency and accountability in government have been goals of mine since day one, and this dashboard is a key priority toward that end. I'm excited now because it is all fully up to date. I want to thank the General Assembly for their support, Delegate Phillips and Senator Hayes for sponsoring the legislation that brought this initiative to fruition, Executive Secretary Gontram and assisting with the work. I'm excited that now we have the BPW dashboard up, running, and all up to date, and excited to continue this partnership and ensuring that we are offering the transparency that Marylanders deserve in how our contracts are awarded and in what has been awarded so that people can look up and see where our money is going. Thank you.
Thank you. And this concludes today's meeting of the Board of Public Works. The next meeting will be August 19th. Enjoy the rest of these weeks, everybody. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.